Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
The great law, you know, and if we want to redesign our existence on this planet in a political formation, I think we should pay very close attention to the great law that was brought about by the Haudenosaunee Confederacy.
That's the voice of Aymara Elder Marcelo Saavedra. He's a professor at the University of Ottawa. This week, we continue our discussion on the teachings of the grandfather. Marcelo generously shares with us the sacred teachings of Aymara and Haudenosaunee people that have been shared over time to teach us the path to respectful coexistence, the meaning of love as wisdom, and the teachings of the great law of peace. I think love transforms you, and not just physically, but it transforms your ability to see and to recognize things that were not visible to you before. Can we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For this, I will use some of the teachings that come from my culture, the Quechua Aymara culture. So in these cultures, we have the notion of Chachawarmi. Chachawarmi basically means, or it is translated into man or woman. It's actually the metaphor of parity. So according to our tradition, in this universe, everything is Chachawarmi. Everything comes in pairs. And everything is dynamically interacting with each other through love. You know, so that's the sense of transformation, because when you are in a relation, you know, there's never like a static moment, a moment that is like a photograph. You know, a chachawarmi, our parity, is never like a photograph. It's more like a film. It's always on the move. It's always dynamic. It's always changing. It's always transforming. And you can even see that in the in physics, for instance, when the, you know, when physicists are studying the atoms. You know, there's actually one of these physicists, Heisenberg. There's this, the principle of Heisenberg. It's called also the principle of uncertainty. And this basically expresses, like, you can either measure the velocity or the position of a subatomic a particle, but you cannot measure both at the same time. You have to decide whether you are going to observe and measure the velocity or you're going to measure and observe the position, you know. And this again gives you like another understanding of the parity relationship, and this also applies to any other relationship that you have with other people, with other spirits, with other communities through time and space. This relationship is absolutely dynamic, you know. You cannot measure it. You cannot measure both components of the parity at the same time. You have to take a decision. You know, you have to say this is dark or white, but you have to take a decision. You know, actually in quantum physics, they have realized that the particles of light, which are called photons, they behave either as particles or as waves. They have both characteristics. But you have to take a decision. You cannot observe them in both states. You have to take a decision whether you are going to observe them as a wave and they are going to show you the wave component, or you're going to take a decision that you're going to observe them as a particle and they are going to become like particles beaming in discrete objects.
In a world that venerates maleness over being female, Chachawarmi to me inspires this idea of parity, where neither one is superior, but they're both characteristics that sometimes are revealed in one way or the other, but it's not a superiority versus inferiority binary, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, one of the other fundamental characteristics of parity or chachavarni is that they tend to equilibrium. There is not one that is more important than the other. They are both necessary for existence to happen. And, you know, and this is expressed, well, nowadays, you know, with the cultural revolution taking place in my home country, Bolivia, you know, the ministers, like half of the ministers are women, or were women. Maybe this has changed. You know, the last information I have is like maybe some months ago. But, you know, at some point, the government decided to have half of the ministers as women, and this was not because of feminist theories. This was because a philosophical remembering of who we are. And we say, well, you know, we have one of the most important teachings that we have is the one of Chachawarmi, man-woman. So we should have our ministers also like a Chachawarmi, you know, like both men and women in an equilibrated manner. And also in the legislature, half of the legislators are women. And again, this is not because, you know, we are following feminist theories. This is because this is very much embedded in our epistemology, in our culture. And also, like, the parity relation between the Chachawarmi, between man and woman, and the other expressions of Chachawarmi, that is all the universe, it is not a static phenomenon. It's like a dynamic one. It goes in oscillations, you know. And according to the you know, the teachings of many indigenous peoples populating this planet, we have been through the period of patriarchal rule for about 5,000 years. And it is time that we yield to the force of feminine power or feminine tendencies. And I think it's coming. I think I see many signals already happening, you know, that we need, like, the opposing force of patriarchal rule coming into this planet to reorder our existence as human beings. And it's already happening. Like, you know, when, for instance, in my courses, I would say like 80% of my students are women, because they are the ones that are going to be driving this process of change, because we are changing as a species, you know. We've gone beyond the, you know, the turning point, which was December 21st of 2012, and that was a period of time in which we were going to turn the tide, so to speak, and so it is happening, and I think we need to tap into the wisdom of indigenous peoples, because we all talk about this period of time in which things were going to change, they were going to transform, and that we were going to have the feminine force field coming in to create a new sort of relationships for our species.
To embrace a way of seeing that is sacred, that is requires for us to nurture respect, you know, for others, respect for the mysteries of nature that we don't understand, and that not everything in nature needs to be exploited for its secrets. In our society, respect has not been a very valued attribute or value that we nurture. You know, it's evident from the way our governments engage in exploitative excursions in other parts of the world, in occupations of other people's lands, in oppression of a multitude of people worldwide. The respect has not been central to this relationship. How do we transform that?
Yeah, actually, respect is also one of the teachings of the Seven Grandfathers. The word they use for respect in their language is Na Den Dewuwin. And if you can see there, Na Den Dewuwin, there is also the syllable for love, which is de, not den dewewen. So respect implies love. And of course, love implies peace, as I said before. So you respect things, you respect yourself, you respect the fact that there's been a spirit that has come into this planet and taken, you know, some, you know, the four sacred elements and give life to you. You are a parity in that matter, and you have to respect that. So the most important thing about respect is that you have to respect yourself as a sacred being, because that's what we are, each one of us. We are sacred in that sense. And if you respect yourself, it follows that you are going to respect the others. And when I say the others, I'm not just referring to, you know, the others that are around you, but also the others, the other nations, both human and non-human, the other expressions of life on this planet and beyond. And this respect also expresses itself in honoring your lineage, because you come from your ancestors. So you have to honor that. You have to respect that. But also, and most importantly, you have to respect the fact that you are at the source of your future generations. So if when you respect yourself, you are respecting the fact that you need to be whole for creating your future generations. And you have to respect that also we have been granted the guardianship of many things by these other nations, human and non-human. For instance, we are, as a human species, we are the guardians of time. We are also the guardians of fire. And we are the guardians of wisdom as well. Things that we have forgotten. But we have to respect that. And it begins by respecting yourself. That's the most important, the most crucial aspect of respect. You know, especially in the modern times, when whatever we eat, whatever we're exposed to, is poisoning us. You know, like if you go to the supermarket and you buy some stuff to eat, you know, most of that industrialized food that is produced and that is eaten by us is like tainted with genetically modified organisms. It's poisoning us. You know, it's full of fats, of sugar, of sodium and stuff like that. So it begins by saying, geez, you know, I'm going to respect my body because that's the only vessel, the only spatial vessel I will ever have. So I better take care of my body. You know, and then you eat properly, you do exercises, you have proper feelings, you have proper thoughts, and then you are going to have proper actions. So that's an expression of respect. When that happens, that's going to, you know, you're going to be respecting all other aspects of life on the planet, and I think that's how we're going to recuperate, or we're going to remember who we are. And also, like, when you are respecting, there's another teaching that comes in. This other teaching is being courageous, or rather being fearless, or being brave. And being brave, you know, actually implies that you are going to have a fearless heart. And actually the word in the Algonquian language is kadewinwin, which, and you can again see there the syllable for love, which is de, which is akadewewin. That means bravery in Algonquian. So that means fearless heart. And we need to be brave, fearless, from the heart. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is an action, a disposition, a behavior that comes from the deepest aspect of your existence on this planet as the person you are today. And we need to be fearless, because this system, the industrial capitalism, is based on fear. We are afraid of everything on this, you know, nowadays. So we have to defeat that fear, and we have to be fearless, but from the heart. We have to have a strong heart to walk straight lives because that's our nature and that's our tendency as human beings. So let me just finish with the other teachings of the seven grandfathers. The teaching or disposition that we need to have to remember who we are is that of honesty. We have to be honest to be brave. There's no other way to be brave. You have to be honest and you have to embrace truthfulness, and you have to also be honest whenever you speak, because also we are the guardians of the spoken word, and you have to be true whenever you take an action and whenever you have a feeling. And you have to dwell in these realms of existences with an honest heart, with a brave heart. These are the teachings of the seven grandfathers. And then the last teaching that we have from the grandfathers, it's in Algonquin, is Debadanten Desiwin. And again, you can see the syllable of De, which means that, you know, the love aspect of this teaching is at the core of it. And this is humility. And this humility is just so, so important, because we need to be humble to understand that we are a sacred part of creation. And actually, in the Algonquian language, in the Anishinaabe language, this also means compassion. So humility implies also an openness to everything else around you. And compassion means not that you are going to feel pity for something or somebody else. It means that you are going to see that this other entity pairing up with you is the same as you are, you know, and that's what compassion means. And this is fundamental, to be fearless, to acknowledge that we are part of this mysterious circle of life, and that we can remember that it doesn't take much of an effort. It's just very simple, just embrace silence for some minutes a day. Embrace yourself. Take care of yourself. Respect yourself. And then you're going to walk the path of humility as well. It's very important.
When I think about the gift that wisdom as love gives us, is this journey to withhold judgment and be able to open our hearts to new possibilities. And for us living in a country with a colonial past, in a world with an imperialistic culture of violence, how has the teachings of the grandfather inspired some of the democratic process that embodied the Six Nations, Confederacy in Turtle Island? What must we remember?
These teachings, they were at the core of the formation of the Six Nations Confederacy hundreds of years ago. And when the settlers came to these territories, they found this very complex confederacy, a political form that was so advanced in comparison to Europeans, to European political forms. So the settlers, they noticed this, and actually Jefferson and the founders of the United States as a state, they saw that, you know, these people, they were very, very much advanced in their way of constituting themselves. So they actually, you know, asked them to share this knowledge with them so they could found this new republic. So for a time, the founders of this new state, they got together with the elders of the Six Nations Confederacy, and they learned some of the nations for state building. And unfortunately, arrogance took over, and they, you know, when they were going through these teachings, they said, "Oh, I think this is enough. So we're capable of, you know, doing things on our own." So they didn't get all the teachings. So they didn't get all the lessons that they needed to have, and that's why the United States has become an imperial power that is dominating the planet nowadays, and is actually destroying it and is bringing the whole planet to a collapse. They were not patient enough to learn the whole story. In the way they constituted themselves, they saw that they had been waging war against each other, the nations that composed the six nations, and they decided to stop that. There was the, what they called him, the peacemaker. There was this person that came about and noticed that, you know, they were waging war against each other, and, you know, he sensed that they were, that there was nonsense in this. So he proposed, you know, we should make peace because of the teachings, and we should get together. And one of the first things that they acknowledge is that in the six nations to form a confederacy, the first thing they have to do is they have to acknowledge the existence of the seven other nations. And these are the fish nation, the birds nation, the animals nations, the insects nation, the plants nation, the microorganism nations, and finally the humans nations. So first of all, they had to acknowledge that the circle of life was deployed in this manner with all these seven nations. And that is also why whenever there is a ceremony, they always acknowledge the seven generations, both past and future, you know, because the metaphor is the existence of these seven nations that inhabit the land. And then when the peacemaker came with to the people with the message of peace, so you humans, you know, meaning the six nations, they should stop abusing each other. That was a metaphor of the time that was going to come in their future, which is our present, when humans are abusing other humans and also abusing other non-humans, you know. And if you just take a look at the rate of extinctions that are happening nowadays in our planet, it's just terrible. The Western civilization is abusing life on this planet at such an intense rate that, you know, the extinction of our species and many other species is almost a given already, you know. And actually, you know, there's about 200 species that are going extinct every day. That's the rate at which we are abusing the planet, you know. And if you want to have more information about that, just Google extinction and you're going to see what we're causing to this planet. And I shouldn't say we, but rather what the industrial civilization is causing to this planet. So in terms of a political system that was designed on this land, the Six Nations, they were very wise in, you know, devising the Confederacy. And to do that, they had to remember. So the first thing that they did is they decided to implement the seven teachings, and the most important was to bring peace into their lives. But the second thing they did was to remember. They looked into their own histories to discover the things that caused trouble and conflict among themselves, so they could abolish the things that were causing these things. And one of the first things that they managed to recognize was that that sense of territoriality that was causing so much problem. So they decided to abolish, you know, like territoriality, which is different from property. But again, it was causing, you know, many evil things. And in the time when the Six Nations were organized as a confederacy, people on the land were guaranteed the safety of living anywhere where they pleased, you know. And that's why when the Europeans came to these lands, one of the things they noticed is that these people, you know, these savage people, the natives that were living here, they lived so freely, you know. They could just move about, they could just take things from the land with all due respect, you know, acknowledging the spirits of the beings they were taking the lives from. they were respecting every other expression of Mother Earth. You know, with only these two precepts, they managed to create a very complex and very mature culture, as I would call it. You know, and they implemented what they called the Great Law. You know, and if we want to redesign our existence on this planet in a political formation, I think we should pay very close attention to the Great Law that was brought about by the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. And actually there is this document which is called A Basic Call to Consciousness. You can just Google it and you're going to find the whole text and just read it. It's just fascinating, you know, how these mature cultures manage to create sustainable, respectful, humble, reciprocal, solidarious entities. You know, it's just amazing. And how we have forgotten this.
Join us next week to hear the continuation of our conversation with Aymara Elder Marcelo Saavedra.
Cambia lo superficial, cambia también lo profundo.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.